Well, good morning, everyone. So awesome, awesome to be here with you on this snowy Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Who here believes this when I say this? Life is better together. Life is better when you can be with people, you can see people, you can be encouraged with people here today. Well, my name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife, Jan. We are the lead pastors here at Eastside City Church, and we are just so glad that you're with us today. For those who are watching us online as well, we want to say hello to you, and we're so glad that you're with us. And I want to encourage you with this. For those who are on Facebook, if you want to give us a like or even follow us, as well as for those on YouTube, if you're willing to subscribe to our church, you will not miss out on anything that's happening within our church community. It will be a way to make sure that you hear about what's going on, that you're reminded about what's going on, because we don't want you or anybody around you to miss out on anything that's happening here today. I say this as well. I want to just give out a massively humongous thank you to our church. You guys are so generous. Last week, I shared with you about something that we're going to be doing for the next few weeks, months or so, is that we're raising money to help a young lady that grew up in our church. Her name is Robin Anderson Milne. She is the mother of two children. She's got terminal cancer, but a month and a half ago, she lost her husband as well. And so the very real possibility that her kids will be orphaned, and so we believe that God has called us as believers to help those, especially those that are in significant need. And I want to say this to you guys today, that between the last couple of weeks, that you've donated over $9,000 to help this family. And I wanted to say a big thank you to you. I thought you'd want to hear that. So as we promised, the church is also going to put $5,000 into that out of our general fund. So that's over $14,000 that is going to be going to this family. Let's just give God a big thank you, a big hand here. And you can still continue to give to that. We have the availability to do that online. There's a tab for that in our giving area. As well, you could go directly to the Robin Milne GoFundMe page and go that route if that's what you prefer. It doesn't matter to us. We just want to be part of the blessing and helping. And again, I said this, I am so glad that you are here and joining with us today. What do they say? April snow showers bring what? May flowers, maybe. Maybe June flowers. So we hope. We're believing. We have faith. We're a people of faith. Well, on a positive note, I want to remind you this. We don't have any mosquitoes yet. You see, there's good things. There's no mosquitoes attacking us yet. I mean, there's things to celebrate in the midst of all of this. Hallelujah. Well, today, I'm really excited to share with you the thrilling conclusion of our surrender series. And the name of my message today is called Tap Out. Tap Out. Who here is a UFC fighting, Ultimate Fighting Challenge person? There was, I guess, some sort of a big fight last night. I don't know. I've heard there might have been some things, but you understand, for those who are into those kinds of things, that when you get in a place where you're in trouble, what do they expect you to do? Tap out. If you're in trouble, you need to tap out. And today, we're going to talk about how this fits. We're going to have kind of a wrestling theme here today. When my son was in junior high school, he had a teacher when he was in grade 7 for his very first year of school that he ever had. He had a male teacher, and he was really excited. Nothing against the ladies, you that are teachers. You do a fantastic job. You're awesome. But he was just excited. He was kind of, oh, this is going to be different. I wonder what this is going to be about. And one of the things that he did was he would teach them on their breaks, their recesses, how to wrestle, how to have different types of holds and takedowns, and he'd allow them to practice them on each other. Now, that was something my son never experienced in school before. And they would go to a remote part of the playground and do it until the playground monitor eventually would come and be like, what are you guys doing? And so the teacher would scold them kind of jokingly, like, hey, you guys, you can't be doing that on the playground. That's not appropriate scolding. You'd be winking at them. And it was really kind of a neat experience for my son. The reason was, as I believe this, it was part of his growth into manhood, almost a rite of passage to be able to learn these kind of things. And not only did he teach them how to wrestle, because some of you might be like, well, he was being deceptive and cheating, but he taught them how to defend those who couldn't defend themselves. He told them to look for those who were bullying, picking, to be able to stand your ground, be able to say something, be able to do what they were supposed to do. I remember when I was really little, I used to wrestle with my dad. Who here, you remember wrestling with your dad as a kid? If you can, some of us, it's a little farther back than others, but I remember it. And what I remember when I wrestled with him was how awesome it was. I remember his tickles. I remember the kisses. I remember just how strong that he was. I could do chin-ups when I was really little on my dad's biceps. My sister would be on one side, I'd be on the other, and we'd be doing chin-ups on there. It was kind of a fun thing that he would do. He was a pretty strong guy. But what I remember most was that he would let me believe I could win the pretend battle, even though I was really no match for him. You see, at any point during the exchange, he could pin me or tie me up like a pretzel, as it was really not a competition at all. Why the talk about wrestling today? Well, we're going to look at a story in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 32, about a man named Jacob. Jacob, who had encountered some difficulties and challenges in his life. And we're going to read a passage about where the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with the man. And if you turn to Genesis 32, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 32. We're going to start in verse 22. And here's what it says in this story. I want to read this for you tonight. It says, that night, Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford at Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man said, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and humans and have overcome. Let's pray here for a moment. Father, I thank you today, Lord Jesus, for your word, the word that you give us, Father God, to encourage us, to strengthen us, but Lord, even to change us. Lord, the word that goes into those hidden places in our life, and if we allow it to, it exposes those things, not to hurt us, not to torture us, but God, to change us and transform us. Lord, to be more like you. I pray that you'd open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive everything you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that when I was growing up, I grew up in the golden age of wrestling. When it was before WWF, which eventually became WWE, I was at the beginning of that, where it went from local venues to stadiums and all that stuff. But what I remember were the days when it was local. Who here remembers Stampede Wrestling in Calgary? That was something that you enjoyed, that you watched. Well, in the community I grew up, it was Portland Wrestling, and some of the people that eventually became stars that people know today, like Ric Flair, Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Junkyard Dogs, they were part of Portland Wrestling when I was a kid. And it used to be on every Friday night and Saturday night on television from 11 at night till 12:30 in the morning. And I remember I would try to convince my parents, my grandparents, I'd stay at my aunt's or my uncle's, that go ahead and go to bed, and I would try to sneak out and watch the wrestling, because it was so awesome, and it was amazing, and it was fun to see these massive human beings throwing each other all over the ring. And I would wonder how they could punch each other and stomp on each other and jump on each other, and somehow they never got hurt. It was an incredible thing for me. Now, I know Pastor Naomi shared a message last week about her sister's wrestling triumphs, and she wasn't quite as fortunate. We understand it didn't quite work out the same way for her. But I'd wonder, how did they do that? How did they survive? And it wasn't until I became older that I learned, and I hope I don't ruin it for you. This isn't like telling your kids there's no Santa Claus, but that this is a routine. It's put together, and it's fun, and it's for entertainment. And I went to wrestling matches where people still believed it as 50-year-olds. It was amazing. But it was for fun, and it still is fun. We love to have imaginations, and they were like superheroes. Well, here's where I'm going today. I believe this, that you and I, we wrestle with many things in our lives. But rarely, I think, do we consider it fun. We wrestle with decisions. Should I do this? Should I do that? Where should I spend my money? What should I do with my career? We wrestle with our weaknesses and our limitations. We look around, and many times we see that there always seems to be somebody that is better than us when it comes to this or that. We wrestle with those things. We wrestle with our own opinions and reasonings. This is what I believe, or how I think it should be done. And have you discovered in life that there are many people around you who have different opinions, and they think things should be done differently? And it can be frustrating, can it? Maybe we even wrestle with our belief in people or our faith in God. It can be hard when you face discouragement or disappointment, or feel like sometimes God maybe didn't hear you or listen to you. You see, I think those things are all difficult, but maybe even the hardest thing sometimes to escape or surrender is our past. And we're going to see here after that with Jacob and his story, that after fleeing his uncle Laban, you have to understand that Jacob has an incredible story here, that after fleeing his uncle Jacob, who actually was his father-in-law, and that's a whole story there, Jacob discovers that he and his family are about to run headlong into his brother, his twin brother Esau, who he hasn't seen for years. Now, we would think this would be a time to celebrate, but he was scared. You see, he had just escaped one problem and is now about to come face to face with an even bigger problem. Jacob's family life, I gotta say this, was a made for TV drama. Like, he would have been one of the most scandalous stories you could ever see. And since I've been talking about wrestling and things from the 80s, I mean, we might as well in the 90s, I might as well say it, he would have been a prime candidate to be interviewed by Jerry Springer. You see, what had happened in his life, he had worked for his uncle, first of all, for 7 years to marry his youngest daughter, Rachel. And on his honeymoon night, his father-in-law switched sisters, put Leah in instead of his younger sister Rachel, exchanged it for Leah, and he didn't discover it till the morning. Now, there must have been some really good wine or tequila or something that was going on in that situation for him not to notice what was happening there. I think that was pretty amazing. You see, not only that, but throughout his whole tenure, the 14 plus years that he lived with his uncle, he'd changed his wages multiple times, trying to take away the things that he had earned from livestock. You see, they didn't get paid as much in money as it was with the livestock and the herd. And all of the things that he had in life, they were constantly trying to swindle each other. And not only was his father-in-law deceptive, but Jacob was deceptive as well. And here he was, instead of being free, he had just taken the time to move away from his uncle, and he was running away from him. Instead of being free, he was now face his brother Esau for the first time since Esau had threatened to kill him for not only stealing his birthright, but for taking his blessing of being the firstborn as well. You see, the reason that Esau wanted to kill him is that Jacob had taken things that were very valuable in their culture. You see, these things included their possessions, that if you were the had the birthright, that meant that the lineage of the family went through you. You were the patriarch of the family. You were the one who was recognized in genealogies. But not only that, with the blessing of the firstborn, that the majority of the wealth and control of the family estate was placed firmly in your hands. And he had stolen it from Esau many years before. And now, here he was, after he had fled his uncle Laban. He now was in a place where he was just about ready to meet his brother Esau. And not only was he meeting his brother Esau, but it had been discovered that Esau was coming to face him with 400 of his most able-bodied men. Who here thinks that might have been a little nerve-wracking? There might have been a little bit of tension in his life. So in preparation for this encounter, what we see, the Bible says that Jacob divided his family along with all of his livestock into two groups so that one group would be able to rescue the other if it was attacked. And he sends them across the stream of Jabbok, which means to empty oneself. He's all alone that night seeking God, I believe crying out to God. You see, the Bible says that when Jacob was alone, that he wrestled with a man all night. You see, Jacob was in a place of anxious anticipation. His brother and 400 men were closing in on him. And I believe he did what many of us would do when we're in those places of where we're afraid. We don't know what to do. He began to cry out in anguish. And I believe he might have even been praying that night, asking God, what do I do? God, will you save me? Will you help me? And the Bible says that a man showed up and wrestled with Jacob. Now, we have to understand that when we say that a man showed up, it was not just any man that wrestled with Jacob, but it was the man. Many scholars believe it was Jesus himself. You see, after Jacob had emptied himself of all of his distractions, Jesus came to encounter him, but not only to encounter him, but to challenge him. Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, wrote this. It does not say that he wrestled with the man, but there wrestled with the man with him. We call him wrestling Jacob, and so he was. But we must not forget the wrestling man, or rather the wrestling Christ, the wrestling angel of the covenant, had come to wrestle out of him much of his own strength and wisdom. You see, the reason that the battle lasted all night, I believe, it was because Jacob was holding strongly to his own opinions and his own issues. He was being confronted by God about things that he was doing, things that he held on to, beliefs that he had, the way that he had done things. And there was a challenge that was going on, and there was this wrestling match that was happening inside of him. But now we see this physical manifestation of it. He actually was wrestling with Jesus. He was wrestling with God. And he didn't want to let go of his self-will, so Jesus allowed him to battle with him throughout the night. Why is this important? Well, I believe this about you and I. Many times we struggle to let go of things. We wrestle with things. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you were just so worked up that you had a hard time letting go of it? That you gave up sleep, it took away your rest, you didn't have any peace, it consumed all of your thoughts and your mind. See, that's what's going on here. I believe that many times we struggle when it's to let go of a relationship or to hold on to it, or we're strongly holding on to a disappointment, or we grasp tightly to what we believe is our rights. And here we can become so worked up that we are unwilling to surrender our opinion even when we know that we should. I say this as a married man. The number of fights that have gone much too long in my marriage are usually because my wife did not want to admit she was wrong. Oh, wait a second. I mean because I didn't want to admit I was wrong. Have you ever been in that place where you know that you're wrong, but you don't want to admit that you're wrong? We've been there because sometimes we're so dug in and we've been battling so long that we're like, I can't lose even though you've already lost. But the biggest issues we wrestle with are those that are deep and important issues with God. And he desires to get a hold of those things in our life. God allows us to battle with him until we're willing to relent or we're willing to tap out and say, God, you win. Have you ever tried negotiating with God? God speaks to you. He comes to you. I want you to forgive your friend. This is God speaking. You respond, but they hurt me. They hurt my reputation. They wounded my heart. I actually asked you to hurt them, God. And now you want me to forgive them? There must be another way. And God says, I want you not only to forgive them, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I want you to do something for them. I want you to bring them a gift. I want you to bake them something. I want you to show you love them. And you're like, no, God, you must be crazy, God. And we wrestle and we fight and we struggle with it. And we wrestle, and on it goes. I remember many years ago, I was involved in a multi-level marketing campaign. It was many years ago, probably almost 20 years ago. And I discovered about 3 months into it that I was in a bad deal. It was more like a pyramid scheme. The biggest problem that I had was that I had also encouraged 3 close friends to join me in this program, and each of them had invested quite a bit of money to do it. And I remember God began to speak to me that he not only wanted me to get out of this program, but he said, you know, I want you to restore relationship because I feel like relationship, you need to help these people. I want you to reimburse each of your other partners all the money they paid into the program. Well, it was a time when my wife has just graduated from college. There wasn't a lot of resources. We were just getting ready to have a family. We didn't have much money. And so I wasn't in favor of this plan. And I wrestled over a week with the decision. I wrestled with it in my spirit. I struggled with it until finally I decided to obey God and not my wallet. You see, God will allow us to wrestle with him in order to work out what he wants to work out in us. He's a big God. He's a strong God. He at any moment could change things. He could do things, but he allows us to wrestle because I believe it's in that process that we discover our limitations. Jacob did not overcome God. I know the Bible says he overcame him, but really when you look at the deeper translation, it says that he allowed God to overcome him, that God in Jacob overcame Jacob's self-intent. You see, it's okay to wrestle with God as long as you understand he will always win. In fact, it's sometimes necessary for us to understand our limitations in comparison to his greatness. But here's a couple other points that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to share with you today. First of all, when God touches you, as we see in the story, it will cause you to walk differently. The Bible says that God touched Jacob's hip socket and wrenched it out of place. When I was about 38 years old, I went to the Philippines to do some missions ministry. And if you know anything about Filipinos, you know that they are crazy about basketball. They love basketball. And wherever you go in the Philippines, you will find basketball hoops everywhere. I mean, you could be in the smallest little corner of a building. It could be on a dirt road. It could be on a gravel place. There will be basketball hoops and basketballs everywhere that you go. And naturally, when I went there, once they discovered that I played basketball, they wanted me to play ball with them. So we did. And I was remember that as we were in our game, we were having a great time, and I was chasing down another player in the court. That all of a sudden, I felt in the back of my right leg, my hamstring just went pop, and oh man, I went down like somebody shot me. I was in so much pain I could hardly walk. You see, I was 38 and I thought I was 18 still. And I was trying to move around. And so every time I went to move for the rest of the trip, there was this limp that everybody in the group thought was so hilarious. Look at him, you walk funny. You see, it changed the way that I moved. In fact, even for a few months when I came home, it changed how I walked. You see, when God touches you and you surrender to him, I believe this, you will walk differently. Amen. How you approach situations, how you respond to people, how you live your life will be noticeably different. It will be obvious to those who know you. You may not even recognize it yourself, but they should and they will see a difference in you. Hallelujah. When I first moved to Calgary, I worked for an automotive warehouse. And as I began to build relationship with people, I would spend more time going to do things for lunches and breaks. And one day I went to, when they still had them, because they've changed the name of them now, to the Max store. And I grabbed one of the biggest soda pops. They had a 500 milliliter pop. And I went to my car and I set it on the floor of my car and I put the car in reverse and I backed out and I forgot that the pop was on the floor. And all of a sudden I heard, I looked down and the whole 500 milliliter container had emptied out on the floor of my car. Now I was with a friend that I was with. We were together and he looked over at me and he goes, okay. And I was like, okay, what? He's like, when were you going to swear? I'd be swearing my head off right now. What he didn't know was that years earlier in my life, I had had a horrible time dealing with swearing and struggling with my language and when I get upset using profanity. But had over the past few years, God had touched that in my life and it had changed me. And now it was noticeable in the way that I walk, the way that I live my life. Here's what I want to say. God's touch, about his touch, God does not only want to save us, he's in the business of changing us. Amen. See, there's so many people that sometimes are just satisfied with, well, am I going to be saved? And God's saying, I don't want to just save you, I want to change you. You see, here's what I believe. I want you to write this down. God's touch equals God's transformation. God's touch means God's transformation. We must allow him to reach into those sensitive places in our life. And I say this, I don't know about you, but I need God to touch me even more deeply every day. I need more of Jesus in my life. And there are things that as I grow closer to him that all of a sudden I wasn't expecting. And when I allow him to, he reaches in and he touches it and it changes me forever. Amen. You see, I believe that God wants to do that. That there are many here that God is wanting to change things in your life. But it requires that we surrender to him. But here's my favorite part of the story. My last point here today. Not only does God change how we walk, but the Bible says that God will give you a new name. You have to understand that when we look at the story of Jacob, that Jacob's name literally means usurper. He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He lived his life by swindling and doing things. And in ancient times, you have to understand that when people would name their children, it would be based on something either they were experiencing or something that they observed. And so they would name their kids whatever it was, whether it was a positive thing or a negative thing. I love in 2 Chronicles, there's a story about the story of of Jabez. And the word Jabez means pain. Could you imagine your name being Pain or a pain in the rear? Like, here's my kid. Well, what's your kid's name? Pain in the butt. Pain in the butt, come on in for dinner. Now, we might think that sometimes, but we don't. That's not what we want to say. So Jacob's name literally meant usurper. And because Jacob, when he was born, he was a twin, was the second one that came out of the womb, was holding on to his brother's heel. So literally they're like, oh, here's that usurper. You see, and here's what's sad. It became more than his name. It became part of his nature. As much as he tried to run from it, he could neither escape it or change his behavior. He was always sneaking, stealing, removing things, just doing deceptive type stuff. It was a label that was based now on his reputation. See, I believe that God wants to change your name, but maybe it's not your name, it's a label that's on you. Labels can be difficult to change. Maybe you've been given a label by people around you. Maybe the label has been that you're a failure. Maybe you've heard many times in your life that you're a cheater, that you're stupid, you're lazy. It's been spoken over you. You've heard it. It rings in your ears, and it's impacted you, and it's affected you. Or maybe you've even given labels to yourself. Not good enough, ugly, unworthy, coward. Maybe there is something or something from your past that you cannot get away from, a bad relationship, a traumatic event, a bad habit, and it's something that has just, it's there. It always lingers with you. It always impacts you. It's always trying to motivate you, and it pushes you, and sometimes you say things and you do things that you don't want to do, and you don't like it about yourself, but it's just kind of, that's the label that you're living under. You've wrestled with it so long that it just seems to be a part of you. And God today says, I want you to be free. God says, I want you to surrender. I'm going to give you a new label or a new name. I hear the Lord saying, victor, overcomer, winner, successful, blessed, prosperous, joyful, life-giving. You are wanted. You are worthy. You are, God just is so in love with you. That's what he wants to say to you today. Some of you need to hear that today. And like Jacob, he wants to change your name. See, God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. He says, you will now be known as Israel. Israel means he who rules with God, or God rules in my life. You see, he went from usurper to ruler. See, only God can make those changes. Only God can do what God is able to do. He can give you a new name. In fact, the Bible says in Revelations that God has given us, when we come to him, a new name that will be revealed to us in heaven for eternity. Why? Because God sees you differently than you see yourself. When we surrender to God, he gives us a new label. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I love this. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God doesn't stick in our parameters. He doesn't live with our limitations. He creates the barriers. He creates the things. And so he sees things that we can't see. And I believe this today, that God has brought each of you here to this moment, because I believe that there are people here today that need a touch from God. Some of you need a fresh touch from God. It's been so long since you've experienced a touch from God. And I was just praying. I was crying out to God yesterday. I cry out to him many days, but yesterday was significant. And I was saying, Lord, you know what's been interesting? Since we've been in this COVID season, I said, there's just been something kind of strange. I feel like I'm digging into you, but sometimes that's hard for me to feel your presence. It's hard for me to discern what you're doing. It's hard for me to understand. God, I just want you to know I need to experience you again. I need to feel your touch. And God, if there's anything in my life, will you reach down and will you touch it? I need this so much. Maybe you're here today and you're just like me, you're saying, God, I need a fresh touch from you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? God, I just need a fresh touch from you. I need, God, you to touch my life. I need you to reach into some things. And God is just saying, okay, will you let me reach where I want to reach? Do you trust me? Will you surrender to me? Because I want to help you. I want to give you freedom. I want to give you liberty. And Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, today that you would touch your people. I pray that you would touch each one of these wonderful, awesome people that are here in this time and in this moment. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would do what only you can do, God, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. Father God, I pray that you'd break through the heavens and you would touch people. And Lord, that there would be a willingness to say, God, I open my life to you. Lord, that there would be a new freedom, that there would be a freedom that would break out in areas, Father God, that we, Lord, haven't experienced that freedom before. Lord, we ask you to come and visit with us. Holy Spirit, come and fill us, change us, transform us, release us today. And Lord, there's some today, I pray in this other part, that Lord, that there would be a change of labels, that labels would be broken. I really hear that today. I hear for somebody today, God is saying, you're worthy. You've come into this place today feeling so unworthy, that God today is saying, you're worthy, that this is for you, the word worthy. I heard God also say to somebody, you're forgiven. There's somebody here that's been struggling to feel like you're forgiven. God's changing your label. You're forgiven in the name of Jesus. You're righteous in the name of Jesus. I'm hearing God is just calling you, some of you, into new things. He's taking you where you feel like you've been a failure. He's breathing success. The name success, I hear it coming over you today. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We praise your name, oh God. We praise your name, Jesus. God, you are so awesome. Lord, I pray that you would do this. And only that you can do that, Lord, that we would be willing to, Lord, tap out. And I pray this today over. There's some here today that maybe you've come into this place and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've been wrestling with God. You've been wrestling through just, should you give in to him? You're tired. You're worn out. And God's asking you to yield to him. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you are saying, oh, you know what, I need to make that decision today. If God's speaking to you, would you raise your hand to give your heart to Jesus, to give your life to him, to say you honor him? Thank you. Well, whether you're here or online, let's pray this prayer together. We believe to pray aloud, but never alone. Jesus, I confess that I have sinned. I ask you to forgive me, to free me. Help me to become like you. I thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. Let's thank God today for his grace and his mercy and his presence in this place. Let's thank him that he breaks labels, he gives us a new name, and that he is always ready to touch our hearts. If you made that decision today, I just want to ask you, let somebody know. Say something to somebody, to a friend, a family member, to a leader here. If you're in online, you could make a comment in the chat area. But as well, we would like to help you. And if you are ready to receive that help, we want to invite you to reach out to us at info@eastsidecitychurch.ca. There we can connect you with other people that will help you as you make this new step of faith. Well, I'm so grateful for all of you being here today. I pray that you'll continue each and every day in your life to surrender your will to God and understand that God has greater freedom for you than you can provide for yourself. Amen.